And they heard the sound of Yahweh Elohim, of the Lord God, walking in the garden, in the Ruach Hayom, in the wind, or in the spirit of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. They hid because they knew they were naked. Though they were now supposed to be like God and to be full of wisdom, they found themselves ashamed and full of fear. They hid because they had disobeyed God and listened to the devil's lie, and they no longer trusted their Creator. They didn't know what was to happen to them next. And what happened to them next was not terribly comfortable for Adam and Eve. It's not terribly comfortable for us either. It's like watching someone else get into trouble and get reprimanded. We hang our heads and we feel sorry for them. But there's nothing that we can do. They're getting exactly what they deserve. Not only were Adam and Eve naked and ashamed and afraid, but now they had to stand before their Creator in the Ruach Hayom and answer his questions. God started his questioning with Adam, the head of the household, who promptly blamed his God-given wife, who in turn blamed the crafty serpent. The serpent alone did not deny the blame. And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." God spoke to Adam and Eve again too, in order to tell them that because of their sin they could no longer live in the Garden of Eden or eat of the tree of life. To tell them that because they had rejected his life, their lives would not be so easy going forward. But it was the words of the serpent that Adam and Eve were also given to hear that are the most important words of all, for they are the first words of the gospel. "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." God promised them that a man born of a woman would crush the serpent's head and rescue his creation from the sin and death that Adam and Eve had brought down upon themselves and upon the perfect creation by their sin. Tonight, we have again heard of this Savior. We have listened to the words and pondered his coming. We celebrate the fulfillment of God's promised snake crusher in Jesus Christ, crucified for the sins of the world. As sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all had sinned. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. One of the crosses of Mount Calvary will forever stand in word and art as a symbol of rebellion. For the criminal who mocked God and rejected Jesus till his very last breath, one of the crosses will forever stand as a symbol of repentance. For the criminal who was turned by God from his sin, who asked Jesus to remember him in his kingdom. The final cross will stand forever on earth and in heavenly places as the price of our redemption. God died so that you could live. By the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. The first betrayal of God by Adam and his wife happened in a garden called Eden. Now Jesus is betrayed and abandoned by those close to him in a garden called Gethsemane. As by the tree of the garden the devil overcame Adam and Eve, so now by the tree of the cross, by Jesus' cross, by his suffering and death, the devil and death have been defeated and overcome. As one of our hymns says it, from that tree of Jesus' shame flows life eternal in his name. Jesus went to that cross willingly. He was stripped of his clothing without a struggle. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he did not open his mouth. He bore your sins, your nakedness. He carried your guilt and shame. He climbed upon his throne and poured out his life for you. He did not do this to gain equality with God, not to gain something for himself, but entirely for you, to gain everything for you, to present you to his Father, because he loves you. In the Ruach HaYom, in the spirit of the day, God came seeking his Adam and Eve in the garden to confront and condemn the devil, and to promise them that one day, in spite of their sins, he would make a way for them to return to paradise. And on the cross, on that Friday that we now call good, in the Ruach HaYom, in the wind or the cool of the day, in the spirit of the day, as the many evil winds swirled around the cross and the sun refused to shine, God breathed out his spirit into the world again to give new life to old bones and dead flesh. And as the blood and water flowed from his side, the wind, the spirit of God, of a new day, of a new creation, was blowing away the clouds of darkness and death. God and man are no longer separated, and the angel bars the way to paradise no more. This Ruach HaYom, God's Spirit, is still blowing throughout our world. He works faith when and where it pleases him according to those who hear the gospel. And the Spirit has worked that faith in each of you. Go then to your homes this night and rest easy through the coming Sabbath, knowing that in holy baptism you were sealed with the sign of God's redemption cross, and that the wind of God blew over and through those waters and has made you clean. Your sins, no matter how horrible they may be, have all been forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed you and made you clean. Since you have been baptized into Christ's death, you will share in his resurrection. God's wind has gathered together a great cloud of witnesses. Let us also with them look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is not death. This is victory. Amen.